Morning, folks. I want to clarify something that some of you may have been looking for an opportunity to give Scott some wisdom as to how to solve a problem. So I want to clarify something. Scott mentioned the amazing stat that we have as many as 150 kids, 12 and under, and then said there's no more room in the nursery. So you might be thinking, isn't that a little bit old to still be in the nursery? In case they were wondering that, why do we have kids like 12 years old in the nursery? So I just wanted to clarify that in the nursery we have, what, like 60 kids, three and under?
Right.
So we have a, and beyond that, like another 90 or something between 3 and 12. You know what we should do to give people a perspective is like once every couple of months, have all the mothers come in here with all the kids that are graduating from nursery. Because that'll be like a flood every week. Just Friday night at a meal a few of us were having at your home, some folks were joking. I think you were joking about getting names wrong. And it happened again today, even in the bulletin there. But I'm going to be really careful because last time I got on Mike Lubanovic for a couple of mistakes. I made a couple when I spoke. And so we appreciate Scott. How many appreciate Scott Volk? In the days we were together during the revival in Brownsville in Pensacola, there were many people that got saved, radically turned around, and became part of the church there, part of our school of ministry. And the gentleman that led worship for us this morning, Mike Mockley, is one of those first fruits that got saved early on in Pensacola. And along with his wife, they didn't know each other then, Ruth, who then were in our pioneer class, the very first class that we had in Pensacola. So it's great to have them with us today. If you enjoyed our time of worship, just let them know when you see them after the service, okay? All right, I'm going to say more about the service tonight in a minute, but how many of you have been able to attend any of the classes so far that we've had the first 3 weeks in our School of Cultural Engagement? Wonderful. How many of you have been blessed by being there? All right, how about adding words to that? Okay, let's just try this again, all right? Just in case someone's listening to this by tape, how many have been there? How many were blessed? Okay. I've been thrilled with the quality of the classes and the folks coming in. We really sought to have some of the finest people we know in the country coming in to teach, and the classes have been rich. We got great responses when I taught last week as well, so I'm just locally here. But I've been thrilled that you've been able to take these in. We've had folks coming from other places to be part of the classes. This week, it's Frank Turek. He's local here in Charlotte, but if he lived in Mongolia, he would have been the one I would have invited in to do this class on cultural apologetics. I had him on the radio with me this week, and I asked him what he's going to be talking about. So, Ben, if we've got that sound clip, you can hear it from Frank's own lips.
In your seminar on cultural apologetics, you get to give us a good 7 hours of speaking. You can Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then take questions from folks. What are the key things that you cover in those 7 hours of speaking?
One of the things that I cover is the fact that every aspect of life is sacred. There's nothing secular to life, at least for the Christian. One of the problems, one of the reasons we're having the problems we are now, Mike, is because in 1920, the anti-intellectual fundamentalist movement took over and bifurcated the secular world from the sacred world. And so a lot of Christians got out of things that they shouldn't have gotten out of, like politics, like law, like the media, like journalism, like even public education, and they left all those things to the secularists, and now our country has suffered for it. So we're going to be talking about how can we get back in the realm, and how can we deal with objections here all the time when we can't legislate morality. We have a whole book on the fact that not only can you legislate morality, that's all you can legislate, because every law declares one behavior right, the opposite behavior wrong. Then we're going to deal with that issue from the perspective of abortion. Can we impose on the woman its right to restrict a woman from avoiding her baby? What about the objections that we get to that? And we're going to talk about this issue of same-sex marriage. I have this book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, but same-sex marriage for everyone. And in fact, we're not going to use the Bible when we talk about that. We're just going to give it good evidence, good reasons, good moral reasons, and good reasons from the fact that so many things will come to society that are negative, including homosexuals themselves, by endorsing homosexual marriage. We'll talk maybe a little bit about euthanasia. We'll talk a little bit about the separation of church and state. Maybe we'll spend more time on that the following week. And then we'll probably talk a little bit about the evidence for God and the evidence that the Bible is true. We're going to get into a lot. One other thing we're going to talk about is the fact that 75% of our young people leave the faith. And I'm going to tell you, that are killing folks, what's being taught on college campuses. And they're not even going to believe it. I don't even believe it, Mike, what's being taught on college campuses. Now, it is just unbelievable, but we'll go through some of that as well.
All right, so as you can hear, Frank is not a Southerner. Frank is from New Jersey, actually. And in about 10 minutes, he says more than many folks say in a couple hours. But he's very enjoyable to listen to, very, very rich presentations, easy to follow, with tremendous content. So that starts Monday night, Frank teaching on cultural apologetics, beginning at 6:30 in the evening. That's in our back building. And then the following week, Joe Infranco, who's one of the lead attorneys with the Alliance Defense Fund, is going to come in and speak about separation of church and state. If you know any pastors or leaders in this area, by all means, encourage them to be here. I'm amazed that Joe himself is coming to do this because he's one of the leaders in the Alliance Defense Fund. Every case you hear about in America today, major cases about same-sex marriage or hate crimes or these hot-button issues, Joe and his team of attorneys around the country are on the front lines of these. And he's going to talk about what separation of church and state really means. Some of the way this thing's got completely perverted in our society, and then what we can and can't do as believers in terms of the law, and then what's actually happening in the courts today. So it's going to be a very rich and wonderful time together. So whatever classes you can get out for, great. If you can get out for some of them, come out for some. If you miss some of them, you can always get the CD and listen to all of the classes, the teaching afterwards. All right? So without further ado, we will get into the Word together, and there we are. Let's just see if there it's working. Wonderful. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we adore you and we honor you. We stand reverently before you. We ask you to open our hearts, to open our minds. We've prayed that thousands of times, Lord. We mean it from our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit's saying. There's a unique mix of us here. We'll probably never be the same group in this building again. Those that are here regularly, those that are visiting. I pray that our hearts and minds would be joined together with your heart and your mind. That something would burn within us of your truth that would change us so we could go and change our world. In Jesus' name, amen. I've really been asking the Lord for some days what he wanted me to speak on today. The things happening this month of July here in the greater Charlotte area, things happening with fire this month of tremendous spiritual importance, even for the nation. And I say that not just as a local leader, but someone involved nationally. My finger's on the pulse of a lot of things happening. I'm in touch with enough people around the nation to say that this is an extremely unique month and a unique opportunity. And we happen to be on the front lines of something extraordinary, with an opportunity to make a statement, to be witnesses in a way that will have a ripple effect by God's grace across the nation. Many times during our years in Brownsville, I would say to our students and say to the folks there, look at me, I'm not dreaming. In other words, I'm not making this up. I'm not just spouting empty words. And as the years would go on, we'd look at each other and say, wow, it's happening. What I'm saying to you now is not hype. I despise hype. What I'm saying to you is very real, foundational truth. So give me your best ear. This message is a bit more personal than most things I'd share, but I really felt the Lord lay these things on my heart. I've said over and over through the years, together we can make a difference. So all of you that are part of fire, committed to be part of us, this is something we're going to share in together. Those that are just here for this day, let's trust that the Lord has you here for certain reasons. There's a song that made a phrase very famous, but it's a good phrase, and we'll use it in a fully redemptive way, which is, with a little help from my friends, you being my friends. If you're a friend of Mike Brown, wave at me. Thank you. That feels warm and nice. Exodus 17, beginning in verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now notice, the Amalekites were attacking the Israelites. So this was an attack on the nation as a whole. So Moses now gives the plan for battle, and the Israelites will now fight the Amalekites. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. So Moses is up on this mountain, he's holding up his hands. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands were made steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. This was not the battle of Moses. This was not Moses' thing. This was not about Moses holding up his hands. Well, Moses, why should we help you hold up your hands? Because as Moses' hands were held up, Israel won. There are ways that God has ordained that we need each other, that each one plays a specific role, and if everybody does their part, victory will come. Joshua and the army fighting did their part, Moses did his part, and the guys holding his hands up did their part, and everybody together saw a national triumph. I want to make an appeal to you to hold my hands up so together, as we each do our part, we can see a national triumph, something that God has raised up fire for in this specific hour. Now listen, I stand back. I always marvel at moms with lots of little kids juggling everything and homeschooling and doing this and doing that, how they can do it. And different ones working all kinds of jobs and then being faithful and commitment to the Lord and so on. I'm amazed at what people can carry sometimes. And then sometimes people look at me, it seems that I kind of thrive on controversy and just have a million things coming at me at one time and sometimes enjoy the attack. But the fact is, in the midst of it, every one of us, we can get weary. Every one of us get weighed down. Every one of us can get hit and attacked. So, simple confession, sometimes my hands get tired. You ever get weary in battle? You ever fighting for something and praying for something and longing for something and fasting for something and holding to something and you get a little worn out along the way? I don't relate much to discouragement somehow the way I'm wired in God, but I get hit with it like everybody else. So I want to make an appeal and say, if you hold my hands up and if we can do something together in the city. Remember, this is not my thing, just like it wasn't Moses' thing. Why should we hold your hands up, Moses? No, because it's not Moses' battle. It's Israel's battle. If we can join together, we can see extraordinary victory come. This is fire's moment to shine. So just to take a second, for those that are not familiar with what's happening, July 25th, is going to be a unique day in our history together. July 25th, by God's grace, we'll be gathering 1,000 believers together to surround a gay pride event in the city with worship, intercession, the word of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the truth of God. When we came to the city in 2003, we knew nothing about some of the activism taking place here. 2004, Scott Heldreth, the Benhams, some of our folks were invited by these others to come and see what was happening in a gay pride event in the city. And we were shocked to see. I was overseas when it happened. I remember talking to Bob. He was absolutely shocked to see what had taken place. Some of the open vulgarity, some of the things that whatever kind of event it was completely inappropriate for a public park. And yet it was happening here in our city. And even though I'm a New Yorker, as most all of you know, and I would have rather been someone else than in Charlotte initially. Now I'm thrilled that we're in the greater Charlotte area here in Concord, knowing it's the Lord. But when God was speaking it to move here, He spoke it to others on the team before me. But no sooner did these things start happening than I start getting stirred. Not in our city. This is not going to happen in our city. Felt this mandate from the Lord to turn back the tide, to reach out to homosexual men and women with compassion, to resist the agenda with courage. And God started to thrust us on the front lines. 2005, we raised up 125 people. We got these red shirts. The front said transform. The back said the front said liberated. The back said transformed by the blood of Jesus. We had several days of prayer and fasting, and we invaded the event. In 2004, when we went in there, the police kicked our people out just for trying to hand out tracts or share the gospel. 2005, after working with police and appealing to the mayor and city council and so on, not only did we have 125 people to go into the midst of this event, we actually had Aaron and a worship team set up in the midst of a gay pride event, worshiping the Lord. How many of you were part of that red shirt invasion? Just raise your hands. Wonderful. It turned the tide in the city because we basically said this is not stuff to be proclaimed in a public park. And it also sent a message of the love of God at the same time. 2006 comes after four or five years of this growing gay pride event in a public area with a loud proclamation going forth because this city has been targeted as the next major city for gay activism in between Atlanta and Washington, D.C. And our answer is not a political answer. Our answer is a Jesus answer. Our answer is a Holy Spirit answer. Our answer is a love of God answer, the truth of God answer. 2006, they didn't book the park. We went to find out when the event's taking place because it had been the first Saturday of May every year for years. No event taking place. Instead, we got the park. Marshall Park, 2006, was now in the hands of believers worshiping God and also reaching out, even apologizing to the homosexual community for the insensitivities of the church, but saying this is the truth, this is where we stand, and this is God's way. They ended up rescheduling their event, putting it later in the year, putting it in a private court between buildings, and making the thing completely tame. And it's probably the most tame gay pride event in the city, but it's still with a loud political agenda that is contrary to God's best and contrary to God's will. We've had some other things that we've been involved in 2007, 2008, and reaching out many other things that have taken place in the city to the point that the largest family ministry in America has told me repeatedly. In fact, I just got a call from one of their top leaders just to thank us for what we're doing in Charlotte and to say what you're doing here is not happening in any other city in America. And you understand, if we can see righteousness rise, if we can see light shine in darkness, if we can turn a tide that's been going in one way only for a whole generation, it'll have a ripple effect across the nation. It's more major than you and I realize. And I say it again, I'm not hyping and I'm not dreaming when I say this. Last year, the day after the gay pride event in the city, which was scheduled the same day as our graduation, so very few of us could even be part of being there, our fire school graduation. Scott was speaking, was having different ones come up and share testimonies about people being healed on the streets and people being saved on the streets. It was a great message. It was a great time of sharing from different folks. And I keep getting stirred. I can't shake this. Finally, I stood up. I said, I'm going to give you a testimony in advance. I felt the Lord pushing me by faith to declare this. I'm going to give you a testimony in advance. Next year, we'll have 1,000 people at the gay pride event. It's one of those things, after you say it, you say, why did I have to get up and say that? It's notoriously difficult to mobilize people for things like this. I am not primarily an organizer. I'm going to go from this group to this group to this group to this group to get people. But it's notoriously difficult to get people to step out of their comfort zones. And one thing, if we had 10,000 folks in our church and said, hey, 1 in 10 show up and we do it. But this meant there had to be some type of citywide cooperation to make things happen. But I knew the Lord was stirring me to say it. This is something where together we are going to make a difference. This is one of the main reasons God brought us to this region, is for such a time as this and for such an act of righteousness as this. We might not have this moment come our way again. Major ministries across the country are cheering us on, recognizing the importance of the moment. They're praying. They're holding our hands up from a distance. They're rooting for us. They believe in us. They don't just think of this as me. They think that there is a community of believers here standing together for righteousness. Believers are going to be coming in from different parts of the country to join us. A house of prayer in Atlanta has just launched a 21-day fast to stand with us, to hold my hands up for this battle. And they'll back this with day and night prayer. They got stirred As Lou Engel has gotten stirred, he shared with them, they got stirred. So they're right now in the midst of starting 21 days of fasting that'll go with night and day prayer specifically for this event, specifically for God to make a difference. Lou's flying in right now to join us in fasting and prayer and mobilization. We've talked on and off over the years about this tremendously important subject that affects every one of us. He's had a main focus on abortion and praying for the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the saving of these lives in the womb. He's also had a burden to deal with homosexual activism, but it's only in the last few weeks he felt this strong release, contacted me. I reached out to him. He got back to me and said, Mike, God's laid it on my heart. I'm supposed to come in. We're supposed to join together to turn this back, but it's only going to happen with prayer and fasting. I'll explain just a little while later in the message, very briefly, why this is something that we can't ignore. Friends, now's our time to arise. When you get people coming in from the outside and people standing together nationally, standing with us, that means we got to do our part. Amen?
Amen?
We have a unique moment in history to make an impact together, but if we don't do it, look at the person next to you and say, we means you. And me. If you'll go back to the Sanskrit origin of the word we, you'll find it actually comes. No, I'm joking about that. We is you and me. It's not somebody out there. It's us. It's each of us. It's not my calling. This is our calling. And if we're not in this together, then why are we even sitting here today as members of Fire? And if this is not something that we can embrace. Here, everyone have a bulletin. I have a bulletin now. Does it say on the front, welcome? Is that the bulletin you're looking at? If it says welcome, wave the bulletin at me. Does it say Fire Church? Does it say building community for the Jesus Revolution? This is part of that. No, oh, look at this. Open up to the front page. Welcome to Fire Church. Our vision at Fire, middle of the page. Everybody see that? Our vision at Fire is to... Let's say it out loud together. Foster New Testament commitment, community, and empowerment. Ignite sustainable revival in the church. Reform morals and culture through the gospel. Export the message of salvation to Israel and the nations. Notice the R in Fire. We are not Phi, okay? We are not Phi, Phi, Fo. We are not Phi. We are Fire. Take the R out, you have no fire. Did you ever see that before, Scott? That is rich. Some people wonder, where do I get that? These things just flow. They just flow. It's like a gift. Just flows. R, reform morals and culture through the gospel. That's one of our core values. That's one of our foundational callings. That's what birthed us together in Jesus years ago. This is our time to put that to action. So just to be honest, and I'm going to say something positive, Scott, so don't get worried.
Okay,
all right. But honestly, one of the most discouraging things for me is when I can't get our people to participate in one major event in a year. It really disheartens me more than you know, because I think this is what we're made for. This is it. We're doing all the groundwork, all the legwork. All you have to do is physically show up one time. It's tremendously discouraging. Knowing people are busy, knowing there's a lot going on, but also knowing this is not something we're coming to you about every day and every week. It's tremendously discouraging. It can actually be more disheartening to me than attacks from the outside, which come perpetually. But here's the positive, Scott. Fear not. But when we stand together, each of you encourages me more than you know. Isn't that pastoral? Come on, man. Seriously, I mean it. If we're doing something, and I just look out and I see your faces together, or someone says, I'm praying with it, you have no idea the encouragement that it brings. In all seriousness, you're just a physical presence of a human body that is friendly and on the same side, smiling. There's more to encourage. Listen, I'll take on anything in that environment. So look, here's a scriptural principle. Ephesians 4:16. From him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Not everybody's a foot. Not everybody is a knee joint. Not everybody is an elbow. Not everybody's a hand, a mouth, whatever. But as each part works properly, we function wonderfully. And we don't compare ourselves to each other because every part of the body is equally important. Every member plays a key role. Each of us together make a difference in Jesus. But this is how we function. Just a little note here with a smile. Notice that smile again. That's Pastor Mike with the nice smile there. You know, it just dawned on me about the only person that called me pastor was a homosexual activist who was challenging me nationally. And I think he did that to insult me rather than call me doctor. But I'm being very pastoral. Listen, when you have like a senior leader status, you're sometimes called the point man. Now, the way we operate, I oversee our team of leaders. But Scott is the point man for the congregation. Josh is our point man for our missionaries. Bob and Steve are our point man over the school. I'm kind of the point man over the whole. But for me, being the point man is a little different. For me, being the point man is like being the tip of the arrow, the pointed tip of the arrow that you guys all pull back and shoot for. Listen, I do not mind being the tip of the battering ram. I do not mind being the one that with my head I smash down the wall. It's part of my calling. Okay, but have you ever remember the days going to a circus? You had the human cannonball. How many of you ever saw that? Okay, I am glad to be the human cannonball, but just get a little energy in that cannon so it just doesn't just go out. I've got no desire to plant my head in the ground 1 inch outside the cannon. Shoot that thing, man. Let's have an impact. If I'm gonna ram something down with my own head, let's get some force behind it. I'll be the point. Shoot the arrow, though. Come on. I told you this would be personal. So, hey, bottom line, if there's a big target on my back, then there's a target on your backs, too. Well, I didn't know that. It's a biblical pattern. Jesus said if he was hated, we'd be hated. If he was rejected, we'd be rejected. It's the same with you and me. If I'm hated and rejected and subject to spiritual attacks, so are you. And when you're attacked, I feel it. We feel when there's challenges in the body or when students are under attack or missionaries are under attack. We feel it together. And with the position God put me in as the most identifiable face with fire, if there's a target on my back, you cannot get away from that. You're targeted too. Might as well fight back. Might as well stand up. Not against people. People are not our enemies. We're not mad at anyone. But we are mad at the devil. And we hate what he's done to the human race and how many lives have been destroyed. So let's join forces together and make a radical difference today. So look, I am not asking you to help me reach Jewish people with the gospel. I believe that's important to everyone in the body. We pray on a regular basis for the salvation of the Jewish people. But you don't hear me getting up making appeals. Look, I'm debating a rabbi. I need you there. You don't hear, I'm out doing things all the time. We don't burden you with prayer requests. All of our guys are out doing things all the time. We don't come in every week and say, please pray for this, pray for this. We're doing this as extensions of fire, but we're not asking everyone to get involved. We've never asked for a dime to help with our radio show or TV show, or almost without exception for the many missions trips I take. I think one time, if I remember it, at a missions conference, we raised money to help me on a trip overseas. But in the dozens and dozens, scores and scores of overseas trips, we don't come and ask you because that's something that I'm sent out to do, but we're not doing it together. Okay? But when it comes to impacting the region, that's not my thing. That's our thing. That's part of who fire is. When it comes to standing for righteousness and seeking to reform morals and culture through the gospel, that's not my thing. That's our thing. Oh, come on. You like this. Look at the person next to you and say, that's our thing. I know some people don't like when you have a person look at the person next to you. And there's always one person who suffered rejection all their life that's sitting by themselves in the corner. It's like, it happened again. It happened again. If that's you, you just look at me. All right. When that happens, you look at me and we'll make eye contact and feel special together. If fire doesn't stand for this, it's no longer fire. Remember, take the R out. It's no longer fire. And come on, if we took out the fostering, think of this, man. This is real trouble. This is where you know Scott has a key role to play. You take out fostering, New Testament community commitment, and empowerment. Instead of fire, you have ire. Oh. Steve, I'm sure you're racing through your mind if we take all the other letters out, what we're spelling. But we'll leave that out for now. You can write me later. Send me the email later. So look, you've heard the saying, and this is not a Scott-like saying. This is Mike Brown. You've heard the saying, if you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. The same can be said all the more for fire. Come on, this is who we are. We don't like this subject. That's fine. There are plenty of places where they'll teach you gardening on Sunday morning or how to improve your golf game. Go there. Feel free to go there. There are plenty of places where all you get is a pep talk. Be positive. I'm positive. You're positive. I'm positive. We're positive. Are you positive? You're positive. We're positive. We're positive. We're positive. Praise the Lord. He's positive. You're positive. He's positive. He's the Lord. He's positive. I'm positive. You can go there. This is part of who we are. Look, we are called for such a time as this. I know it's a trite saying, but this is one of those moments. I believe each of you were called and chosen by God for such a time as this together as you bring your unique gifts and talents and callings. All the things I'm not and can't do will shake the region and the nation. If this is a one-man show, I wouldn't be making an appeal. If this was a one-man show or is about my burden or the burden of a couple of us, I wouldn't be saying unless we do this together, we will not see success and victory. You have things I don't have. I have things you don't have. That's the wonder of how it all works together. You know, people who see certain things I do and they're amazed. Well, how can you do that? Well, I'm amazed at things that you do. So together, I'll say it again, we can make a difference. So look, I'm going to talk about me just for one second, then I'm going to talk about you. I don't know if you know what some people in the community are saying about all of you. Or, as they say down here, you all. Or, in proper English, you guys. Use guys is more proper. That's dialect. That's dialect. Proper English is you guys, but dialect is use guys. And all y'alls is dialect down here. But trust me when I tell you this, I'm known in hell. And I'm targeted by hell. And that means fire, which means you. You're known and targeted too. Because we're in this together. So look, 2007, I was publicly called out by Joe Solomonese, leader of the world's largest homosexual activism organization, the Human Rights Campaign. He challenged me before 1,500 people here in Charlotte, 2007. After my homosexual lectures, my lecture series on homosexuality, the church, and society. This is what he said. From the 1,500 people, we got it recorded. David Benham was there. Pastor Brown, if you're here tonight, David and Jason were there. Do you remember Ted Haggard in the place laughing and hooting? If you're here tonight, know this. We're not afraid to take you on and take back the conversation about religion and faith in this country. Public challenge. He's one of the best known gay activist leaders in America with an aggressive agenda that he supports that will stand your hair on end. It'll stand your hand on end, Scott Volk. And that's saying something. No, that's a positive thing. Who heard that as a positive thing? Here, this led, that challenge in 2007 led to my debate last year with gay activist Harry Knox. Harry is now a member of President Obama's Faith Advisory Council. I mean, this thing is bigger than you realize, friends. It's not just some little thing we're doing in a corner somewhere. Stakes are higher. Here, look, this is from the shoe notes. 2008. This is the gay newspaper of the Carolinas. Picture of me, older picture of me with an AK-47. My head on the body of a Muslim terrorist. With the accusation that we're going to fight homosexuals to the death. I mean, they printed a couple of corrections to the article after it went out. Michael Brown and his COC, Coalition of Conscience, are ready to mount a holy war against the homosexuals. As if I said it in a southern derogatory term, which, of course, the guy that wrote the editorial knows that I don't. But he wasn't responsible for the picture. We did think it was a great picture. I sent it out to all of my friends. It's kind of classic. But listen, this is happening in the Carolinas. That's my picture there getting blasted. That's us. Here, it's just typical attacks. I'll read you two, then I want you to hear about you. Brown projects his own obsession with sexual deviation onto innocent people. He enjoys doing it. He gets paid to lie, and he is applauded by apostate churches for his affirmation of their hypocrisy. These are the kind of things that are posted online all over the place or sent to us. People like you, speaking of me, but you too are bigots, hate, because it's plural, as I see. People like you are bigots, hate mongers, dare I say racist and more lunatic than lunatic. You are clearly a dangerous, mean-spirited madman and a charlatan and snake oil salesman and a hypocrite of the first order. If there is a hell, which of course there isn't, I hope there's a special place for wicked, nasty people like you. I'm known in hell, friends. There's a big target on my back. Oh, but if you're going to be participating with God Has a Better Way, our rally on July 25th when we send this message out to the nation, God Has a Better Way. That's the theme and name of the rally. People are talking about you already, too. If you're standing together as part of the righteousness things we've done in the city before, they're talking about you. What a vile group of religious bigots. I just posted about all of you that are going to be part of God Has a Better Way. You people are a waste of skin. Every day you wake up, an angel rips its wing off. That's a weird one. The others were sicko. This one's weird. Don't you have anything better to do to worry about than people being happy in the relationship of their choosing? With such a doctrine of intolerance, it's no wonder terrorists want to kill us. Thanks for that. I'm not the only one with a target on my back. The truth is, you're full of garbage. You're a disgrace to the Lord, and your hate group is about as Christian as an Ozzy Osbourne CD. For those of you pure and innocent, Ozzy Osbourne is not a worship leader. As for Fire Church, my faithful assistant Eric spotted this one recently. I feel that Dr. Brown's Fire Church is a misguided group of self-proclaimed Christians. Hang on, let me just say this. If someone gives you something to drink today on the way out, don't do it, okay? I feel that Dr. Brown's Fire Church is a misguided group of self-proclaimed Christians. Dr. Brown and his church remind me so much of Jim Jones, who founded the People's Temple and brainwashed his followers into drinking the infamous poison Kool-Aid. So I said, if someone gives you something to drink, don't take it. With this one act, Jones killed over 900 members of his congregation in 1978. That's someone posting locally, because at the Human Rights Campaign dinner, some of our folks came up to share the gospel with them. That's the response. Remember, all these verbal attacks just reflect deeper spiritual attacks on you and me. Sometimes it gets very intense spiritually. And this is just a reflection of some of the ugly stuff that's coming forward, the slander. Listen, if we had hours and you wanted to read hours of attacks on me, I'd share hours with you. I'm saying it's a reflection of real demonic activity. And these are people we pray for and want to see saved. We don't curse them. We bless them and pray for them in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's part of being a body. Part of being a family. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus sought out his disciples. Luke 22, beginning verse 14, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I'll not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus longing to be with his disciples so he could have solidarity with them before he was killed. There's that sense of our humanity where we really lean on each other and really encourage each other and really strengthen each other. Again, this is not just my burden. We're facing the most wide-ranging moral and social challenge in our time or perhaps history. A fundamental threat to our religious and personal liberties. We've been uniquely positioned by God to be the tip of the arrow that's being shot forth. So the question, will you join me on July 25th? Yes. Well, I'll get a stronger yes later, but thank you, sir. How many of you have already gone to our website and signed up to say that you'll be coming? Okay, hang on. Just everybody look around. If you already went to our website and signed up to say you'd be coming, raise your hand. Now, just everybody look around. This is one of the things that discourages me after urging for weeks and for months, hey, please go to the website and just say you're going. Because I'll look for the names. I'll get home from service the next day, say, praise God. It's going to be wonderful to see how many people got on. It's like one more person. So if you're going to be there, first thing, when you get home today, Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and right on the homepage, click on God Has a Better Way, and just say you'll be there. That'll just give an instant boost to my spirit. Will you recruit others to join? If you really believe this is a significant event, pray, ask the Lord to put it in your heart to show you. If you really do that, you'll be stirred. Invite out, you surely know other folks in the community, in the area. Participate in prayer and fasting. Maybe you'll feel led to skip a meal a day. Maybe you'll pick one day between now and the 25th or a couple of days to fast. Maybe you set aside some extra time to pray. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, if all of us do a little, it'll have a lot of effect. And then some will be called to do things even more radically. Will you make it your business to be here tonight? If you can, Lou's coming in specially. He explicitly told us he doesn't want any money in coming. In fact, the offering we received tonight is going to help pay for these T-shirts that we've got to make in the next few weeks that declare God has a better way. And in the back, GodHasABetterWay.com, the day of the event, that website will just turn into a reference place for people that are hurting and looking for help and looking to change. It'll just be links to all other sites. Right now, if you go to the site, it'll give you information for the event. But Lou just felt he's got to come in and inspire vision for prayer and fasting. Talk about some of the battles that they've seen won through prayer and fasting in terms of the pro-life movement. So if you can be here, be here. I know all of us have busy schedules. I'm behind on so many things, but this is a special event. Even if you purchase some God Has a Better Way GBW T-shirts, you become part of history in the making. If you buy a T-shirt for $6 or you buy a bunch of them and people are going to be wearing these, it's going to be a historic day. So I'm going to do this very quickly and then give you a final word of encouragement. Either we stand up and speak out or we sit silently in the closet. So I don't know if you know what's happening in the society, but it's really important you hear this, okay? The good news is Jesus is Lord and the kingdom of God is advancing and the gates of hell will not prevail against his community, his people. Amen? And all authority in heaven and earth is given to him to the end of the age. We need to assess what's happening. We need to understand what's happening. We need to take a stand for righteousness. But just so you can be aware, and I'm going to say things that cross racial lines, so this has nothing to do with race, what I'm about to say, okay? This has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, everything I'm saying crosses all these lines. But are you aware that last Monday our president met with 300 gay activists to celebrate Gay Pride Month? He signed the edict that June is officially Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month. Met with 300 activists to encourage them to celebrate the Stonewall Riots, which is the beginning of the gay liberation movement in 1969, and all the accomplishments that have taken place, to assure them he's going to move the activist agenda forward, and said, listen, we're going to get rid of those old, worn-out attitudes that people have. We're going to change their thinking. He said, he specifically mentioned changing the thinking of African-American churches. And then he praised by name a guy named Frank Kameny, one of the early gay activists, leaders who endorses, I'm not going to say specifics, every imaginable perversion. The guy in his 80s, President Obama, specifically said, we thank you. We're very proud of you. This is in the White House, friends. Or how about the Duke rape case and what I now call perverse discrimination? My own spin on the words reverse discrimination. Remember a few years back, four Duke lacrosse players. I'm going to mention white and black for a minute because you're going to be outraged with what you hear. Four white lacrosse players at Duke University were accused of raping a black woman, a dancer. There was outrage. Over 80 Duke professors immediately signed something accusing them of rape and racism. They were completely disgraced on the campus. They were found guilty before innocent. Outrage over it. Well, it turns out they were completely innocent. The charges were completely bogus. Well, there's another rape case, but you're hardly hearing it in the news. That was all over the news. I mean, as I'm talking about it, people are all nodding. There's another rape case. This thing verified with far more details. It's a white man who's been found guilty of molesting for years his 5-year-old adopted son and offering him up to be molested by others on the internet. One of the most outrageous, despicable things you can imagine. When the media reports it, they rarely report that the adopted boy was black. They rarely report that, but they virtually never tell you that the guy was gay. Why? Because that would make homosexual couples look bad. The media is basically silencing this thing in terms of minimal coverage. Someone called in my radio show the other day and said, I just watched a news story about this. They briefly reported the event, and then they had two gay couples talking about how difficult it is for them to adopt children and how something like this can make them look even worse. And that's where the sympathy lies. There are other cases like this. It's mind-boggling what gets suppressed. Massive injustice. Here, schools here. Hey, Heather, come on up here real quick, if you don't mind. I always mention this, but with Heather standing here with me, I want you to know what's happening right here in Charlotte. I say here in Charlotte, we're in Concord. Okay, Heather, you taught at a preschool in the area here, right?
Yes, very local.
Very local. And what ages were the kids?
They were four.
4 years old. What books were you supposed to read to them?
I don't even remember. Sally has two mommies.
Heather has two mommies.
Yeah, Heather has two mommies. I don't remember. They were all dominantly, overtly, homosexually, just agendaed.
Okay, so she just refused to read them. She's supposed to read them to four-year-olds. How were you required to address the kids?
Without gender specification, like specifically, no boys come here, no boys go there. It was generally, come visit me or come over here. No gender, just,
okay. So, in other words, thanks. She could not say boys and girls when she addressed four-year-olds. She had to call them friends. Is that correct? Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Thanks. Appreciate it. But listen, do you understand the significance of this? This is why in certain schools in America now, it's in the curriculum. Where we used to live, Montgomery County, Maryland, we lived there for 9 years. It's in the curriculum that kids learn about a little boy who finds out he's actually a little girl and now comes to school in a dress. Part of the curriculum. Just recently in Denver, an 8-year-old boy decided he was a girl. Now look, these kids are going through torment. They need prayer. They need help. They need the power of the gospel to set them free. 8-year-old boy decides he's a girl. He comes back to the same school in a dress. People are in upheaval over it. They give him two unisex bathrooms to use. The teachers are instructed to call him by his new female name. And they're providing counselors for any of the students or faculty that may have a problem. You understand? The whole world's being turned upside down, friends. The kid's the one that needs counseling, not everybody else. I go on and on for hours and hours and hours and hours. Look, here, right in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District, they passed earlier this year the resolution that they, in the anti-bullying policy, instead of just having a policy that say kids don't bully other kids, they said you can't bully based on sexual orientation. You can't bully based on gender identity. So if someone, a 15-year-old guy, perceives himself to be a girl, now he's a specially protected category, even though psychologically that's still listed as a disorder. You know, there's a new scale. It's called the Riddle Homophobia Scale that was drawn up by Dr. Dorothy Riddle, to be used in high schools to measure homophobia. Do you know that if you tolerate and accept homosexuals, according to this new scale, you are homophobic? Tolerance and acceptance is homophobic. You must appreciate and nurture and celebrate. Just real quick, Myers Park Baptist Church. This is old news now. This is 2 years old. Boasts 1,850 members. One of the most influential, best-known Baptist churches in the region, in the city. Wealthy area. They now ordain, not just bring it to membership, but ordain practicing homosexuals. Southern Baptist, they're formed, they left now. Southern Baptist Church in Charlotte. Or do you know about the firing of Crystal Dixon? Just understand this. Every example I'm giving you, I'd give you 100 if we had time. Okay? You need to know these things. The good news is God has a better way and we're going to see the tide turn. But you need to know why you can't ignore this. If there was a wedding taking place on July 25th, you'd make plans to be there. You'd figure out a way to be here. Come with your family because we're going to have a nice, safe environment where hundreds and hundreds can stand together and worship. We're going to have others who are going to surround the place, worship teams walking around praying. If you're a prayer warrior, we just need you to walk. We need physical bodies standing there. We'll have little shirts for the little people to wear. And then we'll have stealth evangelism teams. We want to get 50 stealth evangelism teams trained to go into the midst of this event without the shirts and share the gospel and see people saved and set free. Crystal Dixon is an African-American woman. She was the vice president of human resources at the University of Toledo. in a local newspaper, the editor penned an editorial saying he's a white man, but he equated civil rights with gay activism and equivalented and made an equivalency out of sexual orientation and skin color. She is a black woman, took exception to that, and wrote an op-ed piece differing with it and saying homosexuality is different than skin color and you can't compare gay rights to civil rights. She was fired from her job for doing it. The president of the university has stood behind it. All over Canada, there are Christian leaders who have been banned for life, silenced, fined and silenced. They are not allowed to speak a word against homosexual practice. In other words, if I was one of them in Canada, I'd be fined. I could be sent to jail for preaching this message today. And this is coming to a church near you. Hate crimes bill. And listen, when you're hearing about these things, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, hate crimes bill, we are not being alarmist and extremist to say that if these bills go through, your very freedom of conscience will be taken away. Your fundamental religious liberties will be taken away. If that means we go to the jail for preaching the gospel, so be it. But what a shameful legacy we're turning over to our kids and to our grandkids. As one local pastor said to me the other day, he said, a man in our church was talking about what's happening in our society. But then he said, but Pastor, this has happened on our watch. I said, exactly. It's on our watch, but by God's grace, we can turn things. And what about God's desire to save millions of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified people? What about his desire to make families whole and lives whole? We're supposed to see that happen. I never signed up for Sunday morning Christianity. I hope you didn't either. More than 200 people didn't move to North Carolina just to have nice services and nice lives. We moved here with a mission and with a mandate. And to be perfectly honest, never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd ever be a people who'd show up at a picnic in droves and show up at a massively important righteousness event in dribbles. That is not who fire is, friends. And all we need is bodies. How many of you have a body? Some bigger than others. Some smaller than others. All we need is bodies on July 25th. If the people, as long as they're breathing, okay? If the people are breathing and they know Jesus, we need physical bodies standing there. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We meet at First Baptist Church. They're on board with us for this. We park in their parking lot, meet in another parking lot. We'll work out all the details of getting the shirts and getting the shirts on. We'll give final instructions. Then we'll march about a mile over there. Then we'll have one location set up where we'll have a worship team. We just need a few more keyboard players, a few more worshipers. This is not my deal. I'm not going there to play a drum solo. This is us. Guitarists, different ones that are going to walk around the place. We're going to have one main body of hundreds. Scott Heldreth and Mike Lubanovic have a divine strategy. In fact, I asked them each to be praying and thinking about it, and they came both with detailed plans, which basically matched each other. It was virtually the same plans drawn out. We'll have one large body. It's going to make a difference. Our presence, worshiping, praying, interceding, reading the scriptures, different pastors for the community, coming and praying. It's going to make a difference in the whole atmosphere. Just like if it's raining, it's going to rain on a parade in Jesus' name. But it's going to be holy rain. Almost done here. So we'll have that one large group. That's the safe place. Don't worry about confrontation. Come with families. Come with all different ones. We'll be surrounded all together. And then we'll have others that will just be walking around the outskirts, praying, interceding. And then we'll have others that will go in the midst, stealth, sharing the gospel, especially trained to be sensitive to the Spirit. Let me read this. Two quotes and I'm done. Professor Stephen Carter from Yale University. Along with many African American theologians, I believe in the tremendous importance of preserving religious communities, not only as centers of difference, that is, places where one grasps the meaning of the world as different from what you find in the dominant culture, but even more so as centers of resistance. I quoted this early on in our history of fire here to say, this is part of who we are. We're a community of resistance, not with force, not with intimidation, not with anger, not in human ways, but in the life and power of the Spirit. But look at what he says. These centers of resistance do not simply proclaim, we don't believe what the rest of you believe, but they say we are willing and ready to sacrifice, to lose something material for the sake of that difference in which we believe. And here all we're talking about is taking a few hours of a day together, switching plans, rescheduling work, putting a vacation off a day. We moved our graduation from afternoon to 6 p.m. so that we could do this together and do something special on fire for a memorable graduation. Look at what he says. Yet one should have no illusions. All too many pastors, black and white, are so worried about filling the seats. Clergy deliver brilliant sermons that preach up to the edge of asking people to do something, and then they will pull back. Some pastors display prophetic leadership and call for sacrifice, but their numbers are small. By God's grace and calling, friend, we are among those small numbers, right on the front lines, not backing down, made for such a time as this. So I want to leave you with a final quote. I don't often quote Martin Luther. He did extraordinary good in many ways, also had some writings that did real damage. But the good that he did was tremendous, and some of the things he had to say were phenomenal. So I want you to hear this. Let me just skip ahead here. Here we go. Martin Luther. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking, that I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all battlefields besides is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Hear me, friends. Fire will not flinch. So listen. On the day of Pentecost, the Jewish feast of Shavuot, we often think that Peter stood and preached. It's not what the text says. In Acts, the second chapter, it says, then Peter stood with the 11. When he stood, they all stood. This is not my thing. This is not the thing of a few of us. This is us. Those that are unable to be there on the 25th, no one's getting personally judged. But I trust that your hearts will be with us because there's no choice in rescheduling things, but you're drawing in faith. So the question is, very simply, and if you're visiting and you're in solidarity with us, that's great. But I just want to know how many of you, when I stand, are going to be standing with me. How many of you say, we'll be holding your hands up because we're in this together. How many say, you can count me in to make a difference this month? If that's you, in whatever form that's going to take, I want you to stand to your feet. If you choose not to, that's between you and God. I don't judge you. If you're visiting and say, well, I don't know what I'm standing for, that's just fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. First thing, if you can get out tonight, if you can do it, that would be awesome. You'll be charged. Your faith will rise. We know it's July 4th weekend, but thank God you're all here today. Others are driving back from vacation, especially to be here tonight. Go to the website. If you forget the name, GodHasABetterWay.com, and just sign up, say you're going there. If you're on Facebook, invite your friends to be there. Think, okay, if this is something that's really going to have this kind of impact. Pastor Than from Evangelist said, don't talk about 1,000, talk about thousands. Well, praise God. Let it be. You say, what's the goal? The goal is that the proclamation of gay activism in Charlotte gets muted. That the activist agenda in the schools and in the places of business, which kind of has as its point, gay pride event in the city, that gets muted. That the tide turns in terms of what activists want to see happen in Charlotte. And at the same time, a wave of compassion and grace comes to more and more churches to have understanding of the struggles and the issues that homosexual men and women deal with, so that this city becomes known as a place where gay activism is not welcome, but where gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, however people identify themselves, have many churches that are safe for them to come and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life. And we sit down and put an arm around them and we're not shook up by it. And a man could show up here next week wearing a dress, carrying a Bible, claiming to be a right-wing conservative Christian, as I've dialogued with recently. And we'd say, you're in the right place because you're going to get help and love here. And Jesus is going to make crooked places straight for the glory of God. So let's raise our hands together. Just lift your voices with me. Let's just begin to raise a sound in here. Thank you, Lord. Sound of an army. Sound of war. Sound of triumph. Sound of victory. Come on, let's begin to raise our voices. I wouldn't mind somebody at the keyboards just before we go. Jesus, triumphant one, master and king and Lord, we take our stand. We take our stand. We take our stand in Jesus' name. Fire does not flinch at the point of battle. We will not back down. We will not be intimidated. We are not Sunday morning Christians. We are not religious hypocrites. We are not caught up in some habitual form. Jesus, rally your people. Jesus, rally your army. Just shout out to God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, your word declares that your people are ready in the day of battle. We declare in your sight and for all to hear, homosexual men and women are not our enemies. We declare that Jesus died for homosexual and heterosexual just the same. And we ask you, God, to break our hearts with the things that break your heart. We ask you, God, to burden us with the things that burden you. We ask you, Lord, to help us to love what you love and hate what you hate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Rob, just come on up here for 1 minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can play more aggressively than devotionally. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Rod is one of our grads, together with his wife Marion and kids. They've served faithfully around the country and on the front lines in prayer and fasting, and want to help join together to see victory here. So, Rod, would you just pray? Don't start a 21-day prayer, all right? But we just want to agree in prayer for God to turn the tide here. Things are happening. Friends, we are the, right now the tip of the arrow. And us doing this together, you have no idea what God's going to do through it. And whatever attack comes our way, that's just word of a greater victory that's coming. So let's lift our voices together. Go ahead and lead us, Ron. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, come on, let's lift our voices. Father, hear us, God. 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 Hear us, Father. Breakthrough. 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 Breakthrough, Father.
We are not able to do this. We
breakthrough, Father. Breakthrough, Father. Breakthroughs, Father. Breakthroughs, Father. Breakthroughs, Father. Breakthroughs, Father. Breakthroughs, Father.
Father, we ask you to begin to stir, awakening, righteousness.
Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Come, Holy Spirit. Awaken your spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask for culture changing, culture transforming.
Hear us, Father. Hear us, Father.
Come, God.
Hear us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands. Let's do this together. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, this is our hour. This is our moment. Here we are. Send us. Use us. Shake the region. Shake the nation. It's time. In Jesus' name. Give a shout to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Again, if you can be here tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll have an awesome time together with Lou. He's coming in just to be with us for a couple days to help push things forward, then throw himself in however he can after that. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org or GodHasABetterWay.com. Go there to sign up that you'll be there, all right? Let's start to push things forward. Get word out to your friends. Pick some time to fast, to pray, and we will see the glory of God. Amen? God bless you. Thanks.